Welcome to Citra, the hiding place, an outreach meeting of the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His servant, Pastor Olaide Olaniyo. Be blessed as you listen.
We've been looking at the elementary principles of doctrine of Christ for a while now. Hallelujah. And we have basically run through from faith towards God, repentance from dead works, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of dead, and then eternal judgment. Hallelujah. I want us to take some questions today before we move further. I don't know if you have any questions arising from some of the things that has been taught, based on everything that has been taught concerning the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ so far. I know it's rather impromptu. Hallelujah. So I'll give us a little time to probably recollect and call to memory some of the questions that we may have. Amen. Let's read that Hebrews chapter 6 again. By God's grace, maybe from the next point, I don't know how the Lord will be leading Pastor Mike. Like, we may be moving a bit further. Hallelujah. Yes, we know that to really, really teach all of it exhaustively, it may take a while. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But what we are doing is to, by the Spirit of God, lay the essentials. Hallelujah. As God may require, God may bring us back. Are you understanding? In the book of Acts chapter, Acts chapter 20, Paul spent 3 years, day and night, laying only two of these elementary principles. He spent what? 3 years. Acts chapter 20. Go back to verse 20, 21. Quickly. Yes. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but to shield you. And I've taught you what? Publicly and what? From house to house. Verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance to what? And what? Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Paul taught repentance towards God. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And it, according to verse 31, he taught it what? For 3 years. He taught it what? He taught it 3 years, morning, evening, day and night. He taught it what? Is that not verse 20? Therefore, remember, no, verse 20 now, 2020. How I kept back nothing that was public, and I've showed you what? Publicly and from what? House to house. So, they taught publicly, then they taught house to house. So, publicly, church, they did house fellowship. Are you understanding me? And he was only testifying repentance towards God and what? Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. For 3 solid years. We have taught within a space of a year or more, and we are saying we are covering everything. You know that we'll be deceiving ourselves to say we have covered everything that there is to know. Are you understanding? You will be deceiving ourselves to say that, now I am a master of the milk. I know everything about milk. It's a lie. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, one of the things that we saw with the culture of the apostles is that they were not presumptuous. And Paul diligently taught and taught and taught. And their meetings are not 30 minutes meeting like our own. Are you understanding? They are not what? They are not 30 minutes. Some of them can be all night meeting, teaching. Like you saw in this thing, when Eutychus fell. Somewhere you go and argue in the temple. It's not, Bible says sometimes they reason together. So sometimes it doesn't just talk. They, by the time you talk, another person talk. It was more like that, this person that they killed, Charlie Kirk, that they killed. That's how they reasoned. They reason and reason, 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 reason. They are not arguing, but they are reasoning out scriptures. Are you understanding? Sometimes you can't reason under 30 minutes. How can you reason? One person is still talking in 30 minutes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, what I'm just trying to say is that we have taught over the last couple of months trying to show, but that doesn't mean that everything has been exhaustively laid. So, as the Lord permits, He can direct by the Spirit to come again to see things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To see things that are necessary for to be picked. But one of the things that is essential that we know is that the reason for milk, are you understanding? The reason why we pay attention to the milk so much is because of its indispensability. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That you can't outgrow milk. You can only master it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can't what? You can't outgrow milk. You can only what? Master it. The implication is there is no time that milk will become dispensable, that you will be able to do without milk. There is no time in your Christian journey that you will what? Be able to do without milk. You never outgrow milk. You can only master it. Master it to develop skill in the use of it to attain life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You develop skill in the use of it to attain life. So, when I was talking about Hebrews chapter 5, let's go back to chapter 5 from verse 14. Hallelujah. I'm still waiting for our questions. As many of us may have questions, hallelujah. So that we just said, but strong men belong, verse 12. For when the time ye ought to become to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not what? Strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is what? Unskillful in the world. That useth is depends exclusively. Are you understanding it? That useth is depends exclusive. You know, when you give that to a child, they say that, are you doing exclusive? Do you get what I'm saying? Are you doing exclusive? That means you are breastfeeding alone. You don't even need water. So if the baby wants to drink, if the feet is cutting, it's milk. Everything that they do in the baby is milk. Just shock with breast. Shock with breast. Shock. The breast is the solution to everything. Are you understand what I'm saying? That is a person that uses. It's dependent exclusively on milk. But as the age comes by, they start introducing water. Maybe after 3 to 6 months, they may start introducing water a little bit. They may start introducing pap. They may start introducing naan. Are you understand? Then, after tasting water a while, let's go. Actually, milk, there's a test that milk cannot quench. Are you understanding? There's a test that what? Milk cannot quench. It's only that crisp, colorless, odorless liquid. No matter, like Coke, like wine, like everything. Let them give you assorted drinks. You discover that after you take everything, you are still craving for what? Water. Water. Clean, pure, clear, odorless, tasteless. That's the thing really that quenches you.
Now, you can have all the other manner of drink for a fizzy, for starters, for everything. But for the basic test, is still that what? Hallelujah. So, what I'm saying is that, we say, he that useth milk, useth is exclusive dependence. Because this scripture has deceived many people, think that we don't want to use milk. Once I use faith like this, it shows that I'm unskillful. No. Even as an adult, even in strong meat, you still need milk. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even as what? An adult. Even at full age, you still need what? So, that useth doesn't mean that you must not touch milk again. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That useth doesn't mean that you must not what? You must not touch milk again. I say it again. Many people on the premise of this has felt that even to believe God for money is wrong. Or to believe God for healing of my body is wrong. No, I'm doing word of righteousness. I must. And it, so we even become critical of people who preach some of those things. And which is very, very wrong, which is out of order. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, growth does not mean that you outgrow it, that you don't need it any longer, but that you attain mastery. Say mastery. You attain mastery. You use it, you master it to gain life. You master it to gain what? To gain life. You have mastered the process of using your faith to move towards Jesus. I like the way they put it. Paul put it in the book of Acts. Said that I testify faith. I mean repentance toward God. You are turning. Repentance is turning, but you are not just turning. You are turning towards God. Faith towards our Lord Jesus, not faith towards things. You are using faith. So even when you are getting things, derailing you from the focus, Jesus Christ. Are you understanding? It's not derailing you from the person, Jesus Christ. But while you are going to Jesus, you need things. Hello. While you are going towards Georgia, you will need things. You need to pay rent. You need to buy a car. You need to move around. Hallelujah. And it's still Jesus, it's still faith that will take care of it. Are you understanding? You need to pay school fees, even as you know that God expects you to, even as much as you believe that your parents are responsible for school fees, God expects you to look to Him for school fees, to trust Him. As you begin to age and mature, you just go that, yes, it is my parents' responsibility to provide, but I can trust God to provide for them. I can trust God to. Sometimes you don't provide independent of them. Sometimes you can just realize that maybe the responsibilities at heart, the hand, half, is so much, so enormous. God, can you just surprise mommy and daddy this season that you just raise help from Zion, that these school fees will be paid without their impute. And then you just, before you think of it, a scholarship just comes. And then the burden from knowing your daddy, and they're just like, well, thank God. You don't know the value of that thank God. That thank God. That, wow. Some of us, we don't know the value of some things to God. That you do something, and somebody who has been looking for a solution asks God. That thing, that thank God. Many of us are looking for thank you, not thank God. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. See that the ministration of this abundance may by many thanksgiving abound towards God. So really, many times, hallelujah, that's your walk in faith. All it will generate can just be a thank God, and you have pleased heaven. That somebody saw the way heaven worked and then glorified God. May not even know that you are the one that prayed it. That thing has provided you fruit in your account. That, or God led you in a way, and then you minister to somebody secretly, and you met them, and so the person looked up to heaven and said, "Ah, thank you, Jesus. That thing is of great importance." Whether the person comes to say thank you or not, it's not that the person can say thank God. That the person can say what? Thank God.
2 Corinthians 9. That should be 2 Corinthians 9, 12. Yeah, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by what? Many thanksgivings unto God. I think it was said also in Corinthians when they were talking about the administration of the saints, the ministration that was committed to their hands, that's to Paul and Timothy to deliver to the church, that it will rebound to thanksgiving. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that's your response, because this was for the church a response of faith, and all it is that it's not only going to meet a need, but it's going to generate thanksgiving to God, that some people are going to thank God on your account. That people are going to thank God on your account is a blessing. It's a great blessing. People look at you or think of you, and all they are giving is, thank you. You don't know the value of it in the spirit. Hallelujah. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. They may not be able to repay you, but you are in the debt of God. You are in the what? Debt of God. Well, I mean, debt in debt of God. Not that God will not sing. No. You have done something that touches God's heart. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. What thoughts was I saying before I came into thing? Huh? I didn't get you. Yes. Repentance towards God, faith towards God. That many times in the course of our journey, Godward, we will still need faith. Are you understanding it? We will still use faith. But that faith is not taking us, distracting us away from Christ. Are you understanding? In faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Acts, they call it faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith towards. So is faith towards, is directed towards the person, is taking you towards the person. Hallelujah. So I said, Paul and the apostles, they apparently, painstakingly, took time to teach this over and over. Why? The essence was to get the church established. Are you understanding it? Established. To ensure that, the way Paul puts it is that a foundation was laid. And he laid it as a wise what? Master builder. So, he ensured that precept was upon precept, line was upon line, here a little, there a little, block, brick was upon brick, for to lay the foundation. Every foundation has a foundation. You've been taught over and over. And the what we call milk is the foundation of the foundation, which is Christ. Is the foundation, told the foundation, called Christ. Hallelujah. That's why they say is the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
So thoughts, repentance toward God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, say doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of from the dead, then what? Of eternal judgment. And that was what we're teaching on the last time. That's in the last teaching. Pastor Mike was taught
resurrection of the dead, then taught into eternal judgment, and the same thing that we taught. So, do we have any questions briefly before we just seek to tidy up things? Can we get a mic available? There's a microphone there. Do you have any questions? You have a question? Okay, you want to write it out? Somebody is shy. They are always waiting for the first person. Why are you always waiting for the first person? Eh? That's in this time, I permit you to be a mini number one. Don't prefer your brother now. This is not why I want you to prefer your brother. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay. I'm trying to... Let's keep going. Wherever we have questions, we just interpose and then we'll go ahead. Therefore, leaving the principles of the oracles of Christ, doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of dead, and of what? Can we say eternal judgment? Say eternal judgment. You see, it's become expedient, imperative, especially in our generation, to lay again the doctrine of eternal judgment. When we were younger, I never thought a time will come in the church where we will contest and to debate the validity of eternal judgment. But hearing many doctrines that are circulating in the church now, it's become imperative. Hallelujah. It's become what? Imperative that we lay again the doctrine of what? Eternal judgment. Why? You know, Pastor Mike laid the last time that resurrection, the basic resurrection, that resurrection of the dead, resurrection will happen to everybody, both the good and the unrighteous. It's established in Peter like that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. But the fact that one of the things that is disturbing is the fact that some doctrines in the church today wants to erode that place of judgment. For example, a person who is grounded, who is established in the certainty of eternal judgment, you will not be carried away by excess new creation realities. Are you understanding it? You will not be carried away by what? The excesses of new creation realities. Neither will you be swayed by, I don't even know where to categorize this, what they are now affirming partly in the papacy, that's in the Catholic Church, that maybe during the reign of the previous Pope, that God is a loving and merciful God, and the same God who is a loving God will not destroy the ungodly. He will not cast anybody to hell or to lake. And this is just, it shows you the deficiency of milk. It shows you what? The deficiency in it. That people are now debating what is not debatable. Debating the certainty of eternal judgment. Say there is eternal judgment. Say there is. Say there is eternal judgment. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These are things that are certain. Certain. certain, undisputable, and I love eternal judgment. So there are judgments. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are what? Judgments, but what? There is eternal judgment. Let me first say, 1 Timothy chapter 5. We must know the certainty of these things. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. He said, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before what? Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow what? After. Now, likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And they that are what? Otherwise cannot be hid. He said the sin of men, some will manifest going before ahead of them to judgment. He said some is after. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said likewise the good works of some will go before them, will be manifest. And he said those that are what? Otherwise cannot be hid. Meaning that, hallelujah, like some people, you want God to deal with their sin upon the face of the earth. Are you understanding? You want God to judge them. God will not touch some people. They will live large and dwell in sin and oppress the poor. And then nothing will happen. You cry for some people to die like a butcher. They will not die. They will be old and gray, and then they will perpetuate this, and they will sleep and die at their own house in their own time. And so, if you know where you're going, God is unjust. That even the righteous do not live as long. You'll be looking for them, waiting for them to die. They will reach 120. This thing has caused some believers to quit God. Why? What was God looking at? Why? You are not wise. It's because you don't know eternal judgment. That their judgment doesn't come to light doesn't mean that God has forgotten. And doesn't mean that God is asleep. And it should put fear inside of you also. That God doesn't, you know, you do something, you expect God to just swap you and just slap you and just die once and for all. And then God just leaves you. And because he just leaves you, you feel that your heart goes cold to repentance. Your heart goes cold towards repentance. And you don't realize that there is something called eternal judgment. Now, that is a judgment that cannot be reversed. I said eternal. Let's see that 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this is not just the thoughts of Paul. This is not just the perception. It is a certainty. Say it's a certainty. It is a certainty. That certain. Nothing will change it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Nothing. Heaven, not on earth, not beneath. Nothing will change it. Let's see from verse 1. For we know that in our earthly house of this tabernacle, I just want us to read contextually. So we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us, for the selfsame thing is God, who had given us what? The earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8. So we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor. Whether we be present or absent, we may be what? Accepted of Him. Verse 10. For we must Say must. I didn't hear you say must. Say must. This must, as if you know the import of must. Is must optional? Say we must. Certainty. Undisputable. Irrevocable. Not contest. You don't choose it. Are you understanding? It is not whether you're a believer or unbeliever. We must all. Say we must all. We must all appear before what? The judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may what? Receive the things done in his body according that we has done. Whether what? Whether it be good is a must. Say a must. It's a must. Nothing will stop it. Nothing. You can't wish it away. Are you understanding me, church? It's not something you can wish away. It is a certainty. Your ignorance cannot change it. Your civilization, your science mind cannot change it. Go to verse 11. Verse 11. Knowing therefore what? We what? When they say fear God, fear God. When they what say? Many of us don't know this thing. Many of us don't what? Many of us know the goodness of God, but we don't know the severity of God. We don't what? Know the severity of God. Let's put your hands there. Let's go to Romans. Because Paul was talking to the Romans about the goodness and the severity of God. Because you need to know both the goodness and the severity of God to be sound as a believer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to know both the goodness and what? The severity of God. He said, behold the goodness, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God. Now, before you get to Romans 11, let's check Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. If I'm correct. Because, hallelujah. Thank you. Verse 3, he said, think that thou woman that judges then we do such and such and do the same. Thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, thou treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man what? According to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, he will give them in well-doing, who seek for glory, honor, and immortality, he will give them what? Eternal life. But to all those who are contentious and who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he will give them what? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentiles. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. For God is no respecter
for there is no respecter of persons with God.
Are you seeing God?
He said, it doesn't regard your face. It doesn't look at you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And Paul did not just teach the Romans. He showed them Israel. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He showed them Israel to show them a taste. Because the Roman church was a Gentile church. Are you understanding? He showed them the reason for Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11 was to show a Gentile church the severity of God with his chosen. And show them that if God can be so severe with the people of God, with his own, with his elect, don't stand arrogantly, stand with fear. Because that's what he was teaching in all of Romans chapter 11, that they were plucked off so that the Gentiles can be grafted in. He now said that if God dealt with Israel like that, you that are there, stand with fear. Because if God did not spare the true olive, what will he do with the wild olive that was engrafted in? Are you understand? So the lesson in severity is to teach the art fear. The lesson in what? Severity. Knowing the severity of God, he should teach our heart fear. Goodness, the lesson in goodness to teach your heart how to repent. So when God is loving, he's showing his kindness, he should instruct your heart in the way of repentance. That's why you should not take the grace of God as an occasion for lasciviousness. Are you understanding? You should not take the grace of God as an occasion for lasciviousness. So a person can go back to that chapter 2, Romans 2. He said, a person can despise the riches and forbearance of God. A soul can despise it. Continue in sin. That's the essence of Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin and ask grace to abound? God forbid. Why? Grace is actually a shield of the goodness and the forbearance of God. But there is also severity with God. There is also what? There is also severity with God. Bible said that knowing that God had appointed a day wherein he would judge all of men. Are you understand? God has appointed a day. That's why it's a must. It's undisputed. And that day will come. Whether while we are in the flesh or after we have died, every one of us, both great and small, will appear. And that day is not a day of mercy. It's not, sorry, had I known. No. It's not a day of mercy. It's a day of severity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, Paul said, knowing the terror of God. I said, many people do not know it. 2 Corinthians 5, 11. We have not known it. There is a way Paul knew that thing that we don't know it. Not knowing that I've experienced it, but understanding it. There is an understanding of the terror of God that you done upon our hearts. It will change. That thing was what they put. The God wanted to minister to the children of Israel when he told them to come to the mount. He said, that my fear may be before your faces that you will see not. But they did not receive the lesson in severity. But Moses knew the severity of God. Bible says, Moses exceedingly feared and quaked. Now, you don't see Christians who quake before God. You don't see Christians, believers, who quake
Because severity, the lesson in severity is absent.
It's knowing the terror of God. Go to that Romans 11. Romans 11, yes. Seeing the severity and goodness and the severity of God. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But towards thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise. Are you seeing that? You can't understand this and then say you have once saved, eternally saved. No, how will you come to it? You can't understand this. They say, you know, there are certain things they change in the church, and then you just laugh. He said, look. Once you are blessed, you can't be cursed. You know why God didn't curse Adam? You know why God? Because God had blessed him. If God had cursed Adam, God himself would be cursed. Because he said, blessed are those that bless you, cursed are those. It was pretty before. Let me say the truth. Say, Allah Mokamoka. Say, Allah Mokamoka. You don't know some, but you know Paul. So you know in parts. Go and check Malachi. You will now see that even God say he has cursed the blessing of the priest. God say, I have cursed it. So, you that you are saying God cannot curse somebody because he's blessed. God say, I have cursed a blessing. Are you understand? God say what? I now me curse your blessing. He said, if you will not, I'm now all priest. This is commandment of you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, say the Lord, I will even send a curse, and I will curse what? Your blessing. He said, I have cursed them already. Because you do not lay it to heart. So you think God cannot turn your blessing to a curse? Told you so. May God give us sense. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, under the anointing, you can say everything, but it doesn't change the Bible. You know, you can be drunk with anointing, jump, tear revelation, and you just say, yeah! The Bible doesn't change for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible will not change for you. The Bible will not change for you. The Bible will not change for you. Are you hearing me, church? So I was saying that you can, the understanding this, the essence of the eternal judgment, just there's a gravity he puts in your Christian walk. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's a what? A gravity he puts in your Christian walk. There's a sobriety. You are not lascivious. You are not what? You are not lascivious. You are not frivolous. Because you understand that this same merciful God, this same gracious God, you don't want to see his other side. The same God told Moses, don't ask me concerning this thing again, ever again. The same God. Concerning, don't ever open your mouth to ask me again. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Lord. And you understand? We need to understand terror. You see, it's good to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. But it's also good to know the terror of the Lord. Are you understanding? It's good what? To know the terror of the Lord. And that terror of the Lord is not because God says, No. His terror is love. It's not as what do you call the day of wrath and righteous indignation of God? It's not that God. No, his wrath is against evil. It's not against people. But people that have married evil and have become evil, he will just deal with them as evil. God will not lose control and lose his temper and just now Sam is misbehaving. No, that's not what it means. No, God is love. And his wrath is in love. You know, it is love that will make him to destroy some people. It is what? Love that will make him to destroy some people. You know, God is dealing with love with Satan. Yes. God is what? He is love. Oh. You think God hates Satan? God doesn't hate Satan. He hates evil. He is incapable of hate. He is incapable of what? Hallelujah. Say amen. We don't know the definition of love. You know, love that we think is love is that our human, sensual, natural love that just pamper anything. But the closest mirror of love to what God is 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in that which is good. Are you understanding it? So, the love that God is doesn't condone evil. He reproves it. Are you understanding it? The love that God is, are you understanding it? Say amen. The love that God is, that's why I said that the Son whom the Father loves, he chastises. He chastises it. So that he may receive him. Are you understanding? But the thing is that Satan is so caught in the web of his own deceit that the more God is abundant, the more he is tied in his deception. Because even though God is love, are you understanding? There is a limit to which love cannot save you. Beyond which, there's a limit beyond which even the love of God cannot save you. Let me say that again. Can I say that again? That even though God is love, and God relates a person unto with love, there is a limit beyond which the love of God cannot save you. Do you get that? Let me say it again. There is a limit beyond which... Now, it looks like heresy. It sounds like heresy. But it's the truth. That's why scripture says, if your brother sin a sin that is not unto death, you can ask for him. But I do not say you should ask for him if he has sinned a sin unto death.
that sin unto death is that when a person has died greatly, it is impossible for that person to be brought back. If that person has not died greatly, now Satan has died greatly. So he is beyond redemption. He is beyond what the love of God can save. That's why the warning to man is, don't die greatly. Don't die greatly. If a person dies greatly, no matter how large love, why? Because that thing has completed its circuit. It's no longer good for anything. That for it to be cast out and thrown in under. That's the best use for it. That's what he said, if the salt loses its savor, it's no longer good for anything than to be cast out and trodden underfoot by what? Man. So, God does not hate Satan. But Satan has passed a threshold wherein love can save him. And that's where he wants also to take man to. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's the labor of Satan to ensure that he takes man beyond that threshold where he himself has crossed. Wherein man becomes the same way. Man becomes useless. Useless to God. No, useless to God. Let me clarify this. Satan is still useful to God. I'm talking about the concept of eternity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's eternally useless. Amen. Say amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So, let me quickly tie 2 Corinthians 5 with Revelations 20. Hallelujah. The great white judgment of the great white throne. So, because, hallelujah. Now, Peter says judgment must begin in the house of God. Hallelujah. And to a great sense, like I said, judgment is a progressive thing. Judgment, not in the sense of delivering of the counsel of God to his saints alone. Hallelujah. Because in that sense, there is a delivery of judgment. Hallelujah. But like say, the judgment concerning good and evil, like we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that the evil of some sin of some men will go before them unto judgment, and some will follow them. The good also of some will be made manifest beforehand, but those that are otherwise, Bible says, cannot be what? Eat. Hallelujah. Say amen. Look at now what 1 Corinthians says. Because it said that the essence of the resurrection is to give account for what you have done in your body. So after resurrection, judgment. After what? Resurrection. The essence of resurrection is judgment. So we know that death for us is not final. Death for the whole world is not final. There is a resurrection and then there is a judgment. Let's see. Amen. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man will receive of the things done in his body. So, say receive. Receive. Receive of the Lord, of the things done in his body, according to that he hath done. Whether it be what? Good or bad. You must receive of the Lord. Receive of the Lord. So this is the season for eternal reward. The essence of eternal judgment is for what? Eternal reward. Can you say it, church? The essence of eternal judgment is what? is for eternal reward. The essence of eternal judgment is for eternal reward. Hallelujah. And that season of eternal reward is the same for every man. Even those that have died 12,000 years ago. Every man is the same time. You will not is you don't go. If you wait in queue. And you understand it? Until the day appointed. And it's after resurrection. Are you understand what I'm saying? So I know preacher said whenever. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's not what eternal blessing. Because heavens will go, earth will go. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Heavens will go, earth will go. That is not the final destination of the wicked. It's lake. Final what? Destiny. It's not hell. There's a difference between hell and what? Lake. Where lake is, hell is learning. Because hell itself will be casted into what? The lake of fire. Let's see Revelations quickly. Let's see Revelations chapter 19. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Because we are looking at eternal reward. Eternal judgment. Lake is eternal. Hell is not eternal. Are you understand what I'm saying? Hell is not eternal. Hell has enlarged herself, yes. But hell is not eternal. Lake is eternal. No, start from verse 10 thereabout. Revelation 20. Okay. Oh, okay. Start from, let's see, verse 7 or 8. Okay, thank you. Said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be what? Priests of God and of what? Christ. And shall reign with him 1,000 years. Uh-huh. And when the 1,000 years shall be expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom are as the sand of the sea. Uh-huh. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and what? Devoured them. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. The heaven and from earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to what? Their works. Are you seeing that? According to their works. They are judged according to out of the books. So the books were books for works. Are you understanding? Books were according. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another what? Book was opened. So books are for works. Those books. Then they said another book, which was the book of life. Then they said the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. Are you seeing death and hell? Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according what to their works. Then death and hell were what? So you see that death and hell are not eternal, but lake is eternal. Lake is what? So when we are talking about eternal judgment, we are talking about the judgment of the great white throne. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We are talking about the judgment of the great. So if a man dies and is hellish in his soul, he goes to hell. But that's not final destination. That's the final destination. That's not the eternal reward of what he has done. It's just reserve bench. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's just reserve bench. Amen. You know the funny thing? Can I? This place, go back to verse. Which verse is that? Where say the devil, Satan was cast into the lake of fire where the false prophets were? Verse 10. Have you read this place? Now, look at the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented. Now, imagine what will torment the devil. No, imagine what will torment the doer of evil. You know, we used to read that the devil will torment the people that are in hell. No, lake was crafted to deal with Satan. Are you understanding? Lake is a technology. Is the technology crafted. Look at Jude. Let's see Jude. That place was designed for Satan and his angels. So imagine. Now, Satan is a spirit. Satan is an high angel. Things in the pain in the flesh doesn't touch him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So imagine a pain that will touch a cherub, that will torment a cherub. Now subject a man to it. Are you understanding? Lake was not designed for man. It was prepared. Can you give me Jude quickly? It was prepared for what?
Verse 6. There's a place where he said he was lake of fire. Just check for it for me. Maybe I'm wrong that it's in Jude. Get in that place where he said lake of fire was prepared for Satan and his angels. Hallelujah.
Now, chapter verse 6 of this one is still hell, where they are held until the judgment of that great day. This is not this place where there are everlasting chains in darkness is still hell. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's still dark, it's still beneath. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This place, hello, this place is not final destination. They are kept unto the judgment. So this is an everlasting place. This is not an eternal place. Are you seeing it? This place is not an eternal place. This is just reserve. I say bench where they are staying for their final destination. But here they are still messing up. They are still jumping all around. They are there. They are hell, but they are still doing things. They are reserved there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They are what? He said. But angels will leave their own habitation at irreserved. That's why I call it reserve bench. He reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment. So that place where that is in air, but the chains is not shake. is that there is a law of darkness inside of them. It can't turn. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Unto the judgment of the great. So their final destination is the judgment of the great day. Are you understanding me, church? Why is it necessary for the church, saints, to know this? A believer can fall under the illusion that God is messy. Some people even say, I will sin so much, sin, that God will just fling me. You fling me beyond hell, I will enter into heaven. Matthew 25:41. Thank you so very much. Matthew 25. Can you say, then shall say unto them on his last, depart ye cursed into what? Everlasting what? Fire. Prepared for what? The devil and his what? When I say everlasting fire, is actually an eternal state. Is both everlasting as in air and then eternal as in perfect, a lake of fire, Gehenna. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's imperative that a soul knows it. So look at Paul say, knowing the terror of God. Let's go back there. Amen. The terror of God. God will expose man. You know, some of these angels, they are fire. Are you understanding what? Some of these angels, they are what? Flames of fire. Now, imagine a cherub that is higher than a flame of fire. What fire will destroy that kind, torment that kind of a being? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then he said, Paul said, I know that God has reserved a day wherein everybody that does unrighteousness will be exposed to this. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God. And I trust God also that we are made manifest in your consciences. It takes the revelation of something for the heart to be kept from sin. For the heart to be kept, really. Not just goodness of God is good, sincerely. You need to experience it. But you also know to, you need to know the severity or to know the terror of the Lord. God is a merciful God. Very, very merciful God. But mercy and severity are like two sides of a scale. You can't know one at the expense of the other. The scale wouldn't be balanced. You need to know the two. You need to what? You know the two. There are two sides of a scale. That's why justice has that scale, then it's blindfolded. On one side, goodness, on one side is severity. Depend on what side you fall to. Then he has sword. Is that not the symbol of justice? You see, it's just scale, sword, and blind. No respecter of persons. Then sword, ready to deal. He beareth not the sword in vain, because he's a minister of God for this purpose, to revenge evil. So the essence of that justice, are you understanding it? Symbol of justice, those of you who are lawyers or who have been to God, you see what, you know what I mean. The essence, severity and goodness. No respect of persons, then be ready to deal with evil. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Say amen.
Say amen.
So, I said eternal judgment will happen for everybody at once. Are you understanding? So, going to hell is not judgment. It's just as soon as a person dies, you gravitate towards your dungeon and just be on reserve bench. Whether it's heaven or hell, you stay there. Are you understanding? Because it's not everybody that will come from hell. Some people, they look at that Revelation chapter 20 where we read. Some people, it's not hell that they came from. It's not hell that delivered them for judgment. Are you understanding? They've been judged according to the book. Are you understanding? Then before hell and death now delivered up the dead which were in them, then they were judged. Are you understanding? Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Let's finish it. That's Revelation chapter 20. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 20. Yeah. Yes. Death and hell were cast. This is the second death. Next verse. Then whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Hallelujah. Say amen. Say amen. Are you seeing it? The books were open. The books are for what? Works. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. Say amen. Another book was open, which was what? Go to is it 13? 12? I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is what? The book of life. And the dead were out of those things which were written in the books, according to what? Their works. So you see that there are first two judgments in the great white throne. Judgment of the books, then the judgment of the book of life. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? He said the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what? Works. Then the next verse. 13 and 14. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works or according to the books. Is that so? Then verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death or the great death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was what? This is where it gets tricky. That a person can escape hell, but is in outer darkness. Let me say that again. A person can escape hell, but is in what? Outer darkness. People think that everybody that escaped the lake of fire has made it. Really? No, that you escaped the lake of fire doesn't mean that you have made it. It means that you have not died greatly yet. You have done what? Now, the people that have died greatly are people who they were written in the book of life, but they were blotted out of the book of life. Let me say, can I say that again? They were written in the book of life, but what? You will see the cry of David, "Don't blot my name out of your holy book." Because even though a man can be written there, a man can be blotted out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A man can be what? Are you with me, church? A man. That's where I say, when you understand eternal judgment, you'll be sober concerning certain doctrines. You just know that what this minister is saying, nah, hyper grace. Because it is not coherent with spiritual realities in God. Psalm 69, verse 28. Okay, from verse from verse 22. David was talking about some people. So let their table become a snare before them, and let their that which should have been their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and let make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold upon them. Let their habitation become desolate, and let none dwell in their tent. For they persecute him which thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded, and add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not written among with the righteous. So he's talking about those who persecute the righteous. Now, let's see chapter 109, Psalm 109. Psalm 109. He's talking about the deceitful. Amen. From verse 2. But let's just jump to verse 13. So verse 12. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any favor to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not his sin of his mother be blotted out. So, you see, amen. Now, in that Psalm 68, very particularly, he was talking about blotting out the name out of the book of the living or the book of life. Are you understanding? What was David insinuating? Now, David is a prophet. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I've heard New Christian Reality people. I've taught New Christian Reality for years. So, I've also taught it in a measure. Amen. God forgive my ignorance and arrogance. Amen. That the book of life was written from the foundation of the head. Hallelujah. Say amen. I've taught it like that. That the book of life was written from the foundation of the earth, and you see it in scriptures like that. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And that man, every man that should be saved has been written there. I've taught it like that. And identifying with Jesus only confirms your name there. Because reference has been made concerning the book that it was written from the foundation of the If you read your scriptures, amen. Said, let me see. Yes, thank you. Revelation 17, verse 8. It said, the book that thou sawest was and was not, and shall ascend up the bottom left, the great perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Meaning that the book of life, hallelujah, supposedly was written on the foundation of the world. Amen. Amen. I've heard the new creation reality teachers say, and that's why some people say, once saved, forever saved, that the new creation, the book of life was written from the foundation of the earth, hallelujah, and nothing you do can undo your name from it. And what they will use to determine lake of fire is the book of life. Amen. And so, really, you'll be judged according to your works, but God will not sentence you to hell based on it. I mean, to lake, rather, based on it. That there will be judgment, though. Everyone will collect reward, though. Some people will cry. But really, really, what will sentence you to hell is the book of life. And that book of life was written before the foundation of the world. So, everybody whose name is in the book of life is safe. You know, it's a convenient theology. It's a convenient theology. That means that everything I do, nothing, it will not affect my eternal state. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, when we are teaching this revelation, you see how the church will be shouting, yeah! Liberty for license. Are you understanding? Wow, you mean that it is? Wow, this is freedom. Freedom, man. You know, so if I just want to please God, I just please God out of my own free will. It's not because they are forcing me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Is someone glad tonight? Or this afternoon, Denny? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. But that's not what the scripture says. Scripture says a man's name can be blotted out. A man's what? I think Moses also mentioned something about it. Hallelujah. I can't remember the exact scriptures now. Exodus. Get me Exodus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the Lord said unto him, moreover, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I what? Him will I blot out of my book. I will cancel his name. I what? Erase. I will erase his name. I will erase his name out of my book. That book, this book is singular. It's not books. It's not works. But what will use, what the basis of erasure is works. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, what many people do not know is that there's a correlation between the books and the book. And that's why this book will not be opened until the books have been opened. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Until what? The books have been opened. Say amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because it's good that you understand doctrine. If you will not be swayed, tossed to and fro, you must understand these things. Are you understanding? If you don't understand it, when anybody preach any revelation from you, you will run after the revelation because they will preach things from the Bible. Now, the goal of Satan, I'll seek to balance. The goal of Satan is to make man to die and to die greatly. Because when a soul dies greatly, the soul is blotted out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The soul is blotted out. That's what is described in Hebrews chapter 10. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
He said it's better for them
Peter was once saying that it's better that for them not to have known the way of salvation than for them to have known it and what? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness rather than for them to have known it and have turned away from the only commandment delivered unto them. Behold, it hath happened unto them as a troop of rabs. The dog is turned to his own vomit, and the soul that was washed to the wallowing in the mirror. Go up. Then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. That's 2 Peter chapter 2. Yes. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the day. Spots a day. Blemishes spotting themselves in their own deceivings. Whilst the feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin, begotten unstable soul, and art they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Which are forsaking the right way and have got astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb are speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are also wells without water. Clouds they are carried with a tempest, to whom is the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those are clean escape from them who live in error. While the promised liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome by the same is what? Brought in bondage. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the positions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is what? Worse than the what? Beginning thereof. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the only commandment that was what? Delivered unto them. So, say amen. Hebrews chapter 10 now. Let's see chapter 10. So, you see that the Lord will put fear in our hearts. I said the Lord will put fear in our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord will put fear. Because you know that it is possible for a man to fall away from this path. And not fall away is not just that God says, but come and call me. No. The goal of Satan is for a soul greatly. He said, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remember the former days. Former days where you militated, yeah, enjoyed the great. No. 29. No, start from verse 23. Let's see 23. Let us all fight the covenant. Without wavering for his faith, we are from verse 24. Yes. Let us consider one another provoked to love and good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much as called today, as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth what? No sacrifice for sin. He's talking to the believers. And this is not just, he's talking to I believer. This sin is I sin. It's great debt. Are you understanding? It's great debt. Amen. But a certain thing for of judgment and fiery indignation, which are what? Devour what? The adversaries. So, he's talking about fiery indignation, which are what? Devour the adversaries of the Lord, which is actually the place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. Are you understanding? So, I'm just trying to say, show us that it is possible for a man to fall from grace, or for a man who has been written to be blotted out, or to have his lot with the adversaries of the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Now, let me clarify this. Let me put the balance. There are those who do unrighteousness, but who have not died greatly. Now you understand what I'm saying? There are those who what? Do unrighteousness, but who have not died greatly. They've not done, they died small. They died what? Small. The dead, both great and small. They died small. They've not died, they've not partaken of the second death. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They've not partaken of the second death. Their names are not blotted out, but they are not part, they can't be part of the holy city. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They can be what? Part of the holy city. These are part of the people that they enter the world to come, but they are in outer darkness. What they call outer darkness is not actual, is not this present world, it's actually in the world to come. So a person can be in the world to come, but is in outer darkness. A person can be what? Is in the world to come, but what? Is in outer darkness. It's in the book of Revelation like that. You know, Revelation 32, when it say, he saw the new heaven and the earth, there was no more sea, hallelujah. Then he saw the new Jerusalem come. In that new heaven and the new earth, I would say there's no sun, there's no moon, but the Lamb is the light of the city, and the Lamb is God is the light of the city, and the Lamb the light thereof. So the city is the only one that. So that's the world to come is a dark world. Are you understand? If there's no sun, just imagine our world. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. You know that it will be a dark world. Now imagine a dark world. The only source of light is the New Jerusalem, which are a people that descended out of heaven from God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Out of heaven from God. Now, that New Jerusalem is the... I want us to paint it, picture it graphically. It's the only source of light. But it's a whole city. Now, they said, no... Out of the people in that place, let's see Revelation 21. Look at from verse 21. From verse 22. He said, and I saw no temple therein. For God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of the... And the city had no need for what? The sun, neither the moon, nor to shine in it. For the glory of God did light in it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall what? Walk in the light of it. That not in the light of God, but in the light of the city. So the city, amen. Remember?
Yes, sir.
So God will shine light to the men, then the light of the men will shine to the nations of them that are saved. So they are saved, but they are not part of the heavenly company. They are in outer darkness. Hallelujah. Now look at it. Can we read further? And the kings of the earth. These kings of the earth are the Christs. Those are the ones that can enter into the city. They will bring their glory. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The kings of the earth shall what? Shall bring their glory and honor into it. And what? And the gates of it shall not be shut at all, day or night. For there shall be what? No night there. Now, so no night in the city, not no night in that world, because God's light is without variableness. We need a shadow of turning. The reason why we have light here is because the earth is revolving around the earth, but that light doesn't vary. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at something. Can we read down? They shall bring their glory and honor. Honor of the nations, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Why will there be something that defileth in that world? If they say there shall be no wife, enter into it. That means there will be still be souls that have this defilement. Are you seeing it? Now, they escape lake, but the soul still has dark defilement. Though it has not had, it has not partaken of great death, it still has defilement. So it cannot partake of the light of God directly. It cannot partake of the light of the... It is in outer darkness. He said, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are what? Written in the Lamb's book of life. So this is not just the book of life. This is the Lamb's. So the book of life, people will be in that world, but the people that will enter into the city is only those that are in the Lamb's book. Those are the ones that will be able to enter into the city to receive the life of God directly. So, this is what I'm saying. Say amen. For Christians, they just think, I don't want to make heaven. You don't know your destiny. Some people will get not only to heaven, to the world to come, and then they will cry. The what? Why did Paul write in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that some people will be saved as though by fire? That their works will be burnt, everything will be burnt, but they will escape as though they have been saved by fire. They will be saved, but everything is burnt. They will cry. They will realize that I wasted life. I escaped by the whiskers because I didn't die greatly. In fact, I think it is Revelation chapter 20. He said God will wipe away their tears. So, that God will wipe away their tears, that is after the judgment of the great white throne. This is after Revelation 20. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is after Revelation. This is in the new heaven and the new earth. That God is what? Shemokaroni. This new heaven and new earth. After the judgment of the great white throne, that God will wipe away some people's tears. Why will people cry? They've escaped lake, but they are still in tears. So, you see that we don't know regret. It's not just punishment. If you know what you lost, the Lord and is eternal. Is what? Eternal. It's not that, okay, what can I do now so that I can now qualify for the heavens? No, you can't do anything again. You can't do it. So when they are saying, come into everlasting thing, come into us, learn everlasting thing, come into the heavens of the world to come, you think that they are playing? No, they are not playing. God is distributing eternal lots to men in the days of their flesh. So they say, are you understanding what I'm going to say? Amen. Amen. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? So I will soon take questions. So are you seeing? When Paul said, seeing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. Knowing fully well that once that Rubicon is crossed, there is nothing that a man can do again to remedy or to change his estate. That's why we labor. That's why we preach. That's why we are earnest to persuade men to pay attention to their world. Now! You see, the days of affliction are a great investment. They are a privileged position to secure an eternity. All you are looking for is crypto. All you are looking for. You see how Satan succeeded in wasting our time. Then you just go, oh, what fool I have been. That was like the regret of the rich young ruler. He was telling them, let them go and tell my brethren that, the things are not like this. Oh. And he had not even gotten to the eternal place. He was still in hell. Are you understand? He has not gotten to final destination. He's still in reserve place. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's still in what? Reserve place. He has not gotten to final destination. So some people get their final destination, then their final destination. So when their final destination is outer darkness, that outer darkness is not lake of fire, but there shall be weeping and gnashing. Matthew 25, gnashing of teeth. He said, go to outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That outer darkness is not lake. It can be the world. It's the world to come. But there's no light. Look at what they say. Let's just finish that Revelation 21. So that before I just take these questions, and then the Lord will help us. As the Lord will help us. Amen. Revelation 21. So, the stream that flows out from the city, from the altar of the city, Revelation 22, is where there's a tree of life, is what will be healing. If they need healing, that means they are sick. They're still sick. Sickness that God is dealing with in the soul now. Because his soul that will be there. Are you understanding? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord. Forget not what? All his best. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Who what? He let all. So, when God is healing your diseases now, some people, it will take the world to come to heal them. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It will take what? The world to come to heal the diseases of the soul that God is dealing with you now. To take the world to come. And, you know, this world, there is time. That world, there's no time. So, we are privileged. I said, we are privileged that God is dealing with us. And that thing about that world is that there's no devil to trouble you. Satan is helping you to hasten your journey here. He's helping you. There's no adversity. There's no condition. That's one of the privileges angels don't have. So even though they have a kind of the truth, there's no way that thing can work in them because it's through tribulation that you will enter. You need a position for that word to work. It's not given to them. So imagine you are not learning life without opposition. How long it will take for that thing to be working inside of you? So even though the tree of life is ministry to them, it can take an eternity. For what they are taking 6 months to heal inside of you, to be healed from a soul on that side. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, Jesus. And like Pastor Mike said, you will retain all the memories. That you know, just imagine, you have not seen one brother. Hey! And we used to hear the word together. He's inside that city. But he's too far. He can't come out. Hey! Guy. Ah, I just bought Revelation.
What the bridal company? Boy, you are bound in outer darkness alone. Yeah. Alone, yeah. I want to sit on throne. I want to go in outer darkness. So you see that really, thank God for deliverance from second death, but that's not my destination. I want to race. I want to race to enter something, to enter my eternal lot, which is with God and His throne. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's labor. So when a person when they lay doctrine of eternal judgment for a person like this, the ambiguities and excesses of strange doctrine do not sway you. It rather stabilizes you, fills your heart with gravity and fear to journey the way that is set before you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, now is set at the right hand of the majesty on high. Therefore, consider him who endured contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary in striving against sin. For he said that, don't forget the admonition that speaketh unto you as unto children. He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint in the day which we are what? Rebuked of him. For it is the son that the father loves, that he what? Chastises. And he what? He what? Scourgeth every what? Son, whom he receiveth unto himself. So look at, if you are to look to Jesus, what Jesus did was he set his eyes on the throne. He set his eyes. That is how we also are supposed to set our eyes. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, now he sat at the right hand of the majesty of God. He endured all contradiction of sinners against himself. So don't be weary. Are you understanding? Don't be what? Weary in your strife against sin. Don't be weary. Don't be weary. It is not, look, it is not worthless. It has eternal value. Are you understanding me? It is not worthless. It has what? Eternal value. It has eternal value. It has eternal value. Don't be weary in your mind. You know what the world wants you to be? It's not worth it. Especially when you make you to see those who are not obeying righteousness succeeding in this world. You want to say to yourself, what's the essence of your righteousness? That was what Satan was pushing in the face of David, Psalm 73. He was pushing it in his face. He said, I've cleansed my heart in vain. Are you understanding? But no. Don't believe that lie of Satan. Hallelujah. Don't believe that lie of Satan. He said, until I entered the sanctuary and then judgment came to me, then I understood that God sets them in slippery places. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so what we'll do is this. You just give me some few minutes. Let me see this. Someone is already asking about Charlie Kirk. Okay. I just saw the name. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, quickly. And please, sir, could you give a brief rundown of all the events that will take place from the day of rapture. Thank Thank God it came on time. When you finish eating and you tell your parents thank you and they say thank God, is it the same thing when God does something for you and you say thank God? If you just say thank God casually, doesn't it mean anything? How will you know that you have passed milk level? I feel like passing it to Pastor Mike. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. Good day, sir. In my former church, we have days separated for the dead. That's interesting. I heard that for the first time. These days, people bring the names of their dead ones and even cook to church. Then a you have wisdom to answer this one. Amen. Amen. Sir, Charlie Kirk died and prayers were held for him. It is making me wonder, why pray for someone that is dead? Well, they're praying for him or they're praying for his family. Pray for his family. They're not praying for him. Amen. Nobody prayed for him. Hallelujah. Nobody prayed for him. Or if you prayed for him, I don't know. But at least I did not pray for him. The Bible says to live to die, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Are you understand it? We gained him. We gained the soldier. We gained the soldier. We gained the soldier eternally. Amen. He died in Christ. Hallelujah. So, look, it is us that we are sorrowful. He is rejoicing. And that's the truth. He's rejoicing. It is us that are sorrowful. Hallelujah. Because we lost a comrade. We are going to miss a comrade. Do you understand it? Then his family, he has two young children. And of course, they are going to miss their father. Bible did not say we should not sorrow. He said we should not sorrow like them that have no hope. So, people will cry, and it's right to cry. Are you understanding? Because you miss them. You are still in the flesh. But you don't cry like those that have no hope. That's what the Bible says. But the Lord didn't say we should pray for the dead. There's nothing your prayer can do for the dead. Are you understanding? Your prayer, Pastor Mike has secrets to answer that question that was asked. That's why I am not going too much inside. Since they are alike, I join it. Don't be laughing at me. Me and Pastor Mike, we know how we handle ourselves. So just leave me and Pastor Mike alone. Okay, let me try to... You see, I've passed 3/4 to him. Even this one, it may end up ending at his table, but... Okay, when we finish eating and you tell your parent thank you. Now, one of the spirit of the age, amen? One of the spirit of the age that Paul warns against is that in the latter time, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves and all of that. And one of the things he mentioned is that they will be what? Unthankful. They will be what? Unthankful. Now, it is good to give thanks, give thanks for everything. It is courteous. It shows that you don't have that sense of entitlement. Are you understanding it? Even when your parents are providing for you, are you understanding it? It is good. When somebody gives you a gift, it is good and courteous to what? Render appreciation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is good, one, and courteous to render appreciation. But I'm talking in terms of the spiritual import of obeying faith. Are you understanding it? The spiritual import of obeying faith, that one of the spiritual import of obeying faith is that thanksgiving rebounds to God. on your account because of your obedience. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That somebody who wasn't thinking that something was coming from you at all, who was trusting in God, then suddenly, who maybe he didn't communicate to you, you are not even aware that he, but in obedience to God, you responded in faith and then met his need. And like, wow, thank God. That obedience of faith rebounds something to you because you have honored God. How have you honored God? You have sanctified the name of God by your response in faith. And it is not just merely meeting a need now. You have met the need of God. Because that thing has strengthened the faith of this brother. It's a ministration. Are you understanding? It's a ministration. So you are not just getting the reward of meeting a need. You are getting the reward of ministry and defying him. Because he has a response to his faith in God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that thank God and that thank you are not the same. While it is good to appreciate people who do good to you, but it's not on the same level as response of faith, which actually is meeting the need of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are two different things. That a person says thank God on your account. Now you talked about your parents telling you, God, thank you. I've been telling you to thank God. It's good. Are you understanding it? It's good. It's a good culture in the house. Telling you that, okay, don't see me as the source. And it's a good culture that parents should always pass down to their children. To not see them as the source or the farm from where everything stems, but to see God. Hallelujah. Now, that may be a dealing of faith, a discipline of faith. But it can also be a good culture. There are Christian cultures. There are Christian traditions. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are what? Sound Christian culture. It will do something to your soul. It's not necessarily because they want you to feel that, okay, this is a response to your faith in God. No. But they are just teaching your soul culture. It's a culture in the home. And it is a good one. It should not be stopped. Are you understanding? But it's different from the response that we are talking about. Where, for example, you know that your parents are going to provide for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when you thank them, you thank God. It's not wrong. But it's different from, you don't know where meal is coming from. You don't know where any meal. You are trusting God. And then, somebody that you have not heard for in 2 months. Maybe you have even, it's already 7 p.m. You have not eaten all day. And you're just saying, God, I don't know, but I'm looking up to you. Then somebody who you have not heard of in 2 months, just entered your, come to your door and brought a plate, a cooler of food, just sufficient for your whole family. You're like, how did you know? Ah, God, no, that is different. Are you understanding? That is different from thank you. The thanksgiving that rebounds to God is different. You were trusting God. But at this man is just like, God just told me, just impressed upon my heart. Sometimes even somebody that you don't know before, God just impressed upon my heart. That thing is valuable. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say. That some people may not even say thank you. Some people are too shocked to say thank you. You just give them. And they are looking at you. The question is, where did I know you? How did you know my need? They will now go to their closet. Eru Olorun ba mi. Eru Olorun ba. Don't laugh. That thing is strengthening their faith. It's a great encouragement. Hey! If you see what God did, that thing can be what will hold that soul for the next 15 years. That God is mindful of me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I was just saying that your faith towards God, don't be lazy towards it. It's not useless. That's what I'm trying to say. And we should keep at it.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.